2 of that 590 show coming at you live right now on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside Pablo Giamatti, also known as John Rudolph, behind the dials. Hope everybody is having a fantastic Friday evening. Friday usually means when people go out to the movies, and joining us right now is a film critic for RealSpoilers.com. That's where you can download the podcast. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kevin R. Brackett. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. You said you're getting ready to see a show. What show are you getting ready to see?
I am going to see Mamma Mia at the Fox Theater.
You love your shows, man. I mean, you, it seems like every time I'm talking to you, you're on your way to some show at the either at the Muni or at the Fox, or I know there's a Playhouse, I think, that's out in Maryland Heights. But you're you just love that live theater, man. Good for you.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I know that you're not a huge musical guy, are you?
I am not, no. I mean, I've been to a couple, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm just here because the woman I'm with wants me to go. That's the only reason why I would go. What's up, Pablo?
I should take you to a show sometime if you'd go with me. I'll show you some good shows.
I don't think you'd want to go with me, Kevin. I would be like MST3K throughout the entire thing.
Have you ever been to Stages before, Kevin? I heard that's really, really good.
You know what? I actually haven't reviewed a show out there yet, but I've heard nothing but good things as well.
Mm-hmm. I've been there one time. It was a great experience.
What's it called? Stages?
Mm-hmm. I believe it's kind of Kirkwood area, I think.
Okay, was it like live plays? Or?
Live play, it's smaller though.
Oh, is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. So the big movie opening up this weekend is Atomic Blonde, starring Charlize Theron and James McAvoy. It's kind of like billed as a female James Bond / Jason Bourne. And looking at some of these photos of Charlize Theron, you're like, wow, you forgot that she is one of the most beautiful women on the face of the earth, because normally she's playing someone disgusting like Eileen Wuornos. But what was your impression of the film?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. It's kind of like she's James Bond and Bond girl all in one. I think that's a good way to kind of summarize it. Also, I've been calling her Joan Wick because, you know, it is almost like the female counterpart. This is one of the two directors that directed the first John Wick movie, and they were also the stuntmen and the stunt choreographer on The Matrix. So that's how they got the tie-in with Keanu Reeves, and now they've kind of gone, I wouldn't say separate ways, I don't think it's anything contentious, but one of the guys directed John Wick 2, and the other split off to do Atomic Blonde. I think it was the only way they could, you know, both be involved with the two projects at the same time. So, but yeah, it's a really great action film. It was nice to see some real good action choreography and some of the quick cuts that we're used to seeing lately. Those are always disappointing, and I see more and more of these films using that choppy, quick-cut, close-up action. And so I think when you compare it to the Bourne series, I know that it's kind of sacrilege to say anything bad about those, and those are good films. But, you know, sometimes the action gets a little too close up and too choppy, in my opinion. And these are long takes, and Charlize Theron did most of her own stunts. So she trained actually at the same gym that trained John Wick, Keanu Reeves for John Wick. And the action looks good, and she does a really, really good job with this, and it's no surprise coming off of Mad Max Fury Road, where she basically stole the show.
And it looks like this movie takes place back in the late 80s, early 90s in Germany, because it's on it's talking about the Berlin Wall coming down. So is this kind of like an alternative universe, kind of like The Watchmen, or is it supposed to be taking place back in the late 80s, early 90s?
No, it's not an alternative universe, and you're correct. It is taking place on the eve of the Berlin Wall coming down, and basically Charlize Theron plays an MI6 agent that is going over there to recover this list that has a lot of sensitive information about different agents from all different countries and all different organizations. So there's some Russians that usually end up playing the bad guys in these movies. They're trying to get the list, and she's meeting up with James McAvoy over there to try to hunt it down before they get to it.
How is our town's John Goodman in it?
John Goodman's great in everything, and it's amazing. I mean, is it just me, or is John Goodman in every movie? I swear.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. It seems like he's in a lot of and in a lot of movies that you wouldn't normally think that John Goodman was going to be in. This is one of them. The other one I'm thinking of, too, was that Kong movie, Skull Island.
Right.
You were like, John Goodman's in this movie. Okay. I mean, like, I'm with you. I think John Goodman is great in everything, but it seems like you're right, that he's in every movie now.
Yeah, but you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. He's a great actor,
yes.
And you know, it's great seeing him pop up in these movies. But he's good. He plays an American agent, so you know, he doesn't have to put on any accent or anything. And he's only in a small role because most of this does take place in Germany, and it's revolving around the MI6 agents. Again, that's McAvoy and Theron. They're over there. They meet up with a French operative who is played by, you know, the gal that played the mummy in the most recent Tom Cruise movie, and she was also in The Kingsman. She plays a smaller role as a French operative, and so she's really good. She actually has more character development. Most of the stuff she does is more stunts and action stuff. So yeah, overall, I mean, it's good. It's a little predictable, but you know, with some of these spy movies and the action summer movies, you're not necessarily going for the most complex plots. I mean, this is not a Christopher Nolan film, so you're gonna predict some of the stuff, but I think you're gonna have a lot of fun with the action.
It's essentially just a popcorn flick, right? This is a summertime popcorn flick. You know, the guys are going to go because of Charlize Theron, and she's, I'm sure, probably like half new throughout the entire thing. You got lots of explosions. And this is kind of like the movie. You just go in, check your brain at the door, sit down, and have fun.
Exactly. But again, I mean, these are the guys, this is one half of the team that was in charge of the stunts for Keanu during The Matrix. So, you know, the guys know their stuff. You're going to have a good time watching it. And it's got a really unique style. It's an 80s movie. It's a throwback to that kind of color palette and the neon lights. There's a lot of pinks and greens and blues. And it's a really neat visually, too. So I would say definitely if you're into that stuff, it's a good time.
The other movie being released today, or one another movie being released today, and when I saw or when I read about it, I'm like, this is the dumbest idea ever. I have no idea how this even got greenlit to be made, and that is the Emoji Movie. Right now, it is sitting at a paltry 6% on Rotten Tomatoes. Please tell me you were not tortured by having to watch this movie.
You know, unfortunately, I was not able to make it to that one. So I can't.
Yeah, you sound heartbroken.
I really am. But, you know, it was sitting at 0% until earlier today, and it got one positive review, which bumped it to 3. And now I guess it had 2, which bumped it to 6. But from what I've seen, the consensus is that, you know, it's just not even entertaining for kids. It's just a lot of bad humor, just not clever in the story. And, you know, and again, for a kid's movie, usually you're just trying to entertain. But I guess the critics are saying it won't even do that. So pretty disappointing with the cast of voice talent that it has.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't even know how you could entertain kids with an Emoji Movie. I mean, I really don't know how you would do it. When you look at it, like, do really little kids, are they that into texting now where they know what all the emojis are and they're sending emojis to their friends all the time? Am I that naive?
Well, you know, I think the thing is they are, but it was a bit of a stretch for the studio because, yes, they're trying to capitalize on something similar to Angry Birds, for instance. It's a huge app while the kids are playing it, so they make a movie out of it. But yeah, it's a bit of a stretch when you're talking about emojis and smiley faces. And I think that the kids maybe are not in the age where they're going to be going to the movies or maybe even trying to convince their parents to see it. And then the older kids, and I'm talking about maybe even 9-year-olds or 10-year-olds, they probably think they're too cool to go see it. So I think it just kind of ends up in limbo.
The other movie being released today is an inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power. It is basically another Al Gore movie boring you about the environment. I saw the first one and I'm like, okay, like Al Gore, if he was this dynamic of a personality and overbearing of a personality, he would have been elected president back in 2000. It's Al Gore the bore. And I understand he's talking about a very serious subject, but I mean, isn't this something that you could probably maybe release on Netflix and not in major theaters?
Yeah, and you know what? I think their strategy with a movie like this, when you're doing a wide release, I mean, yes, the first one was very successful and did make a ton of money, but what I think they're trying to do is they give it a small theatrical window because at this point, they know they're going to make the movie. They know they're going to put it out there in video, and they say, hey, if we can make $1 million or $2 million, $3-4 million in theaters, why not? So I think it's just like bonus cash at this point.
Kevin Brackett joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett. So there was a tweet that came out a couple days ago, and I quote tweeted it, and it was the question was, name a popular movie that you absolutely cannot stand. And I said Step Brothers, and the two here in the studio looked at me as if I just smashed the Ten Commandments.
Well, first of all, last week you kind of lost some points saying that Suicide Squad was even watchable.
No, I didn't say that. What I said, no. Whoa, slow down. What I said was that I liked Jared Leto's Joker. That's all I said. I said that was the only good thing about Suicide Squad, and you're making it sound like I'm giving Suicide Squad a 5-star review.
I usually, when I talk to you, you refer to it as Oscar award-winning Suicide Squad, so I don't know.
Okay, the only thing that deserved an Oscar in that movie was Margot Robbie's body. That's the only thing that deserved an Oscar in that film. The score wasn't that bad.
But no, you really don't like Step Brothers. That movie's hilarious.
Oh, no. That movie is awful.
Mr. Berger.
You found that movie hilarious? I thought for sure you'd be on my side on this one, Mr. Film Critic.
No. It's hilarious. It's such a quotable movie. And, I mean, I think it's, like, you know, up there with Anchorman I like Pineapple Express and those kind of movies. It's you know, one of those dumb movies that it's you check your brain at the door. There's lots of good jokes. The actors in them, I mean, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, and then, of course, the whole Judd Apatow crew with Seth Rogen. Jonah Hill, those guys. I think those movies, and they're some of the most successful rated R movies in history, and they rebooted everything, you know, when they decided that, you know, people, with The Hangover included, with Todd Phillips doing that trilogy, people would spend money to go see a rated R comedy. And so now look at how many you get a year, and it's because of movies like that.
I'll tell you what, that movie, in my opinion, has one of the most clever jokes I've seen in any of the Judd Apatow movies. It's at the very end where they're all celebrating. They go to the backyard. There's the pirate ship, or whatever it is, and they go up there. And Will Ferrell pops up with the perfect Chewbacca Mac. John C. Reilly pops up and just goes, "It's okay that mine's not movie quality." I don't know why, but every time I hear that joke, I fall out of my chair. It is the most well-placed fourth wall breaking joke I've seen in years. That joke alone makes that freaking movie.
How high were you when you watched this movie?
No, that movie, I'm sorry, if I was high, that joke would have gone over my head, because that is an incredibly solid joke.
Matt, you don't like the musicals, you love Suicide Squad, you don't like
I didn't love Suicide Squad. Oh my goodness, we're going nowhere with this one. But here's my argument against Step Brothers is that if you knew those two guys in real life, you would not find them funny or entertaining. I think you would probably want to choke them to death. And that's how I felt watching that movie. I'm like, you know what? I don't like these guys at all. I don't think they're funny. I think they're annoying. And if I ever met them in real life, I would murder both of them.
Well, that's why you go to the movies, you know, to escape, right? We don't want to just have normal people in our
Okay, but
real
you
world.
Just said that you didn't like Dunkirk because there was nobody to cheer for. Who the hell am I going to cheer for in Step Brothers? Mary Steenburgen? Because she looked good. I'll give her that an old gal. She looked really good.
You don't have to cheer for anything except for beautiful lines like "your voice sounds like Jesus poured over Fergie." Like that is memorable, Matt Berger.
If someone told me that in real life, I'm like, you're stupid.
If somebody broke out that line originally, if you were in real life,
okay,
I would lose
so
it.
So was it last week when Chris Gardner was in here singing? And if let's say you've never seen Step Brothers before, said if I looked at Gardner and said your voice sounds like Jesus poured over Fergie, you'd lose it.
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
That is objectively funny. Whether or not it's 2009 or 2017,
you would give me that grimace. You would give me that grimace as if I just released a stale fart in the studio. That's what you would do. Come on, Rocchio.
I think I have a solution here. Let's not talk about this, and let's talk about a movie that was released that last week. I actually got to go see Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets.
Okay, how was that?
It actually stars an actress from one of your favorite movies, Cara Delevingne, that was in Suicide Squad.
Well, that is the greatest film of all time. It's right up there with Godfather.
But it stars Dane DeHaan, who you may know from The Amazing Spider-Man, which was the last reboot. He played Harry Osborn, and Cara Delevingne was Enchantress in Suicide Squad. And this is directed by Luc Besson. This is the director of The Fifth Element and Leon the Professional. This is a guy that has done some great action sci-fi films, and apparently he's been sitting on this property for decades, and he wanted to make sure the CG and the special effects and everything would be good enough to make this movie. And some people may think that this movie was stealing some of the elements from Star Wars and Blade Runner and some of the sci-fi movies, but like John Carter of Mars that came out, you know, several years back, it actually predates a lot of the sci-fi films we know. And so this graphic novel, I think that this is based on, is from the 50s. So it's a lot of action, a lot of sci-fi special effects, you know, and it's another one of those movies that I think you just need to check your brain at the door and go enjoy. And it's getting mixed reviews. I think it's in the mid-50s on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is, yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
When I saw the trailer for it on TV, I'm like, this movie looks, visually, it looks absolutely amazing. And then you kind of see the two character or the two actors, you're like, okay, it looks like they're trying to gear this towards, you know, the tweeners and the high school kids. So maybe this is something I'll catch on HBO when it comes out. I'm seeing that Clive Owen's in this movie. He's had a kind of an interesting career.
Yeah, you know, there are, it's not a huge amount of stars. I would say Clive Owen is probably one of the, you know, highest paid actors that's in this movie. Rihanna has a small role, but, you know, that's not anything to necessarily go see the movie for. But Clive Owen is probably maybe 15 minutes of screen time. So really it's these two characters, and, you know, they're not as well known. You know, I don't think that either of them are tremendous actors. I mean, especially Cara Delevingne, she's a model. You know, she's not necessarily trained to be an actor, so I'm not saying, you know, nothing against her, but
yeah, she's there to look at.
Yeah, she was there in Suicide Squad, and you saw how she acted in that one. So, you know, you don't get much more out of her. I will say she is better in this role, but I think what you're going for is the special effects and the CG. I mean, they create these beautiful landscapes, and the movie's called Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets because basically it's kind of an interesting history. They go back and they show how Earth, you know, the astronauts came from Earth and all the different countries and met up on the space station, and then all of a sudden getting into the sci-fi element here, you have all these aliens and these beings from planets all over the universe, and they all met at the space station, and they started basically building on top of the space station and creating this hub, and centuries later, it's called the City of a Thousand Planets, and all different races and it's species, and people from around the galaxy have built up, and, you know, there's a bad guy that's trying to destroy planet, and there's some mystery there. So, but plot aside, you're going to see these thousand planets and these aliens and the action. And so, again, if you want to just kind of check your brain at the door, get some popcorn, and enjoy an action movie, I think it's fun, and I think the critics are maybe being a little harder on it than they should be.
Can you see it possibly being like a cult classic further down the road, maybe a decade or so away from now? Kind of like the way that, I mean, I don't think Blade Runner was a huge box office success when it came out, but it's considered a classic now. And most recent movies I can think of, a lot of people, like the only critic I knew that absolutely loved Dark City was Roger Ebert, and that's now considered a cult classic. And a movie that, here we go, is probably a movie that you and Rocchio and Giamatti love, and I wasn't a big fan of, and that's Donnie Darko.
Oh, you know, I mean, I think Donnie Darko is good. I think maybe people play it up a little bit more, you know, than it deserves, but it is a good movie. But I think even more so than those other ones that you mentioned, The Fifth Element is probably the most
applicable. That's a good one too. Yeah.
That's a movie that 20 years ago, same director, Luc Besson, and everyone knows The Fifth Element and can quote it, and they know all the visuals and everything from it, but it was reviewed pretty harshly by the critics, and now it's become, I think it's higher than a cult classic, but it's still in that same kind of category where, you know, it's not one of those A-list type movies, but any film buff will be able to name it and quote it, and people love that movie now. So I won't say this is on the same level. I definitely don't think it's as good of a movie as that, don't get me wrong, but I could see it coming around again and people enjoying it in a similar way.
Nothing against Daniel Craig. I love Daniel Craig as James Bond, but Clive Owen would have made a kick-ass James Bond. And he's in two of my favorite movies as well. He's in Sin City, and I think his best movie is Children of Men. I think that movie is amazing.
Well, that movie is absolutely amazing. And, I mean, the cinematography on that, and just the visual and story acting, you know, Michael Caine's in that along with Clive Owen, and that is a fantastic movie. That is probably one of the best movies of the last decade. It's still within the last decade, isn't it?
Absolutely. I tell people all the time when they're talking about, okay, I'm looking for a movie recommendation, there's always two I always give. One is Children of Men, and the other one is City of God.
Oh, absolutely. You know, City of God is one of those movies that I tell people about all the time. They've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
And that is such a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I'm looking at Giamatti right now, and he's shaking his head. He's never heard of it. City of God is amazing. And like we were just talking about, the reason why I love Children of Men is because it's set in the future, but it seems like it's a realistic future. You know, it's not like flying cars or anything like that. You'd be like, okay, I can see how that's what the England or the planet would look like at that time period.
Yeah, I do. You know, I tend to enjoy movies more that, you know, it's funny we're talking about Valerian and The Fifth Element that goes so futuristic with the flying cars. But I do tend to like the movies that are more like the post-apocalyptic or even not so much that, but run down and in a darker future. I mean, Blade Runner, it was still futuristic, so I guess, you know, but it still was dirty and dingy. And I think sometimes those are more interesting because maybe you'd believe that we'd get to that point. So, but yeah, The Children of Men is excellent. And I just looked it up, and I guess we're getting old because that was 2006. So it's just outside of the last decade.
Just outside a decade. Yeah, it's hard to believe that movie's 10 years old. It doesn't seem like it should be that old.
No, but that's Alfonso Cuarón, the director, and he makes some beautiful films. I believe he directed the third Harry Potter film, which was Prisoner of Azkaban. I think that's the third one, and that is one of the most beautiful of that entire series and changed the tone of the entire thing. So the guy's a brilliant director.
Kevin, we know that you're on your way to a show, so we don't keep you any longer. We appreciate your thoughts on these movies. You are absolutely wrong about Step Brothers, but I will not hold that against you. Try to get better taste in films, my friend, before we have you back on again.
All right, sounds good. And enjoy your marathon of Suicide Squad this weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Kevin. That is Kevin Brackett from RealSpoilers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
Funny story, one of the writers for Children of Men is two of my closest friends' uncle.
Really?
Yes.
He wrote the screenplay or he wrote the novel? Because I think it's based on a novel.
He wrote the screenplay. He's one of the. There were three writers in the screenplay. The two in front of him were really big.
Giamatti, did you ever see that movie, Children of Men?
I haven't. And I also looked up The City of God. I'm going to have to check both those
Children
out.
Of Men, yeah. Children of Men is a really good movie.
Really good.
The reason that he's one of the reason his name never gets brought up is because Alfonso Cuarón was the lead writer on the screenplay, and so obviously when you're one of the three guys working with him, you're gonna get pushed behind. But that's the first time I ever went to an Oscar party was because Children of Men was up
for Best Picture,
for Best Picture, and it being one of the writers, I'm really close with friends with the family, so I went over there first time I'd ever been to an Oscar party before because they were all sitting there waiting to watch.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool.
I haven't watched
that film
in a long time.
You went to school with one of the kids I'm talking about.
Really?
Yes, you did.
You have to tell me during the break. I'm curious who it is.
I haven't watched that film in a long time, Children of Men.
I have it. I can lend it to you.
Clive Owen's great. I
got a bunch of free copies of it.
Do you? Okay. Well, I mean, I can always dial up on Netflix, too.
The thing I can remember him from is Inside Man. You guys saw Inside Man with Denzel, right? Clive Owen?
Yeah, he was in that one. And trying to think of other couple. Like, he's got a really different career arc because you would think that he's a good actor. He's a good-looking guy. Mm-hmm. You would think that he would be in, you know, just every other film.
Yeah, he's picked some bad ones. We've talked about the other one that King Arthur vehicle he did that didn't really do very well. By the way, there was some breaking news that came across Twitter during the break, or sorry, during the interview. The Cardinals have announced that Lou Brock is officially cancer free.
Oh, yes, good for him. So ring the bell.
Good for Lou Brock there.
Yes.
Beating, I think it was blood cancer, too. So good job for him.
Good news.
To beat that out here. By the way, I just thought I'd throw this out there because I was on Clive Owen's IMDb page. He is in two movies that are already in post-production, and he's currently filming a movie. Listen to this one. In post-production, a movie called Ophelia, and he's playing Claudius. So that seems like it's going to be one that's going to be a pretty big role.
Who's
for
directing
him.
That's a big thing.
Ophelia is being directed by Claire McCarthy.
I don't know who that is.
I'm not sure who Claire McCarthy is, but the story, obviously, Ophelia, is a reimagining of Hamlet from Ophelia's perspective.
There we go.
It looks like all she's directed is a bunch of shorts. The big movies she directed, Cross Life and The Waiting City.
Never heard of it.
Either of those. They sound like they're going to be indies.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yep. Literally, this is an indie about people in India.
So this is her big break then, I take it.
Yes, it looks like it. Yeah, okay. When Clive Owen's playing somebody opposite Yeah, that's pretty big.
Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we got plenty to talk about in the NFL and the NBA. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.